Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua chapter 24 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 285. We'll begin with verse 11 and read through verse 16. We'll read the verses responsively with special note to the 15th verse, the text verse. Joshua chapter 24, verses 11 through 16. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's word. And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And may we pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for your this special day when grandfathers are honored. And thank you for special people in this building. And thank you for the special emphasis that is always given thy word in this place. We thank you for our preacher, and we pray for thy help and thy blessing upon the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a place like this, with such a varied congregation, tremendous variety of society and this cross-section of society, it probably means that we have more people making decisions than the average church. For the college, for example, the end of the semester, the spring semester, we have several hundred students who graduated who must find what to do with their lives. And I'm going to bring this morning, not just for them, but for all of us, because all of us are constantly making decisions, I'm going to bring a message that's as practical as can be on the subject, how to choose. You have a decision to make. How do you make that decision? Exactly what process do you use for the making of a decision? I want you to follow me as carefully as you can. Father, bless, I pray, the next few moments that we shall spend together. Make them most profitable for each of us, that we may choose aright. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen very, very carefully. I made a statement last Sunday morning and repeated it, or at least I phrased it again Wednesday night. I'd never thought of it exactly like that before. And the more I thought about it, the more truth I thought was in it, and the more important I thought was the truth. And this was the statement. The mind is the attorney who presents the evidence to the will. The will is the judge who makes the decision upon hearing the evidence presented by the mind. Let me say it again. The mind is the attorney who presents the evidence to the will. The will is the judge who receives the evidence from the mind and makes the decision or hands down his verdict. Now, I made mention last Sunday morning, and I'll just take a minute or two to say this, that the unoccupied mind is opportunity for the devil. People often say, I just want to get everything off my mind. You do, then you have all the guards off the battlefield of your mind. And the devil can send his thoughts into your mind. And the only way you can keep evil thoughts out of your mind is to have your mind filled with good thoughts. Thoughts are like soldiers. The good thoughts occupy the battlefield of your mind, keeping the evil thoughts from controlling the mind. Or the evil thoughts occupy the battlefield of your mind, preventing the good thoughts from controlling or entering into your mind. Now, with that statement, I got to thinking, and I want to share with you a message on how to make a decision, how to choose if you're facing or will face, and you are or will soon, some decision. And I'm not talking just about big decisions of life. I'm talking about the common, everyday decisions of life. God has given to each of us a free will. Man can choose what he wants to choose. If you go to hell, it'll not be because you're predestined to go to hell. If you don't go to heaven, it'll not be because you were not one of the elect. You'll go to hell because you elect to go to hell. Or you'll go to heaven because you elect to go to heaven. Now, I want you to follow me very carefully. Now, as I want you to picture a courtroom scene. The judge is on the bench. The judge is your will. That part of you that is the decision-making part. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Not by the will of the man or the will of the flesh, but of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, here is a courtroom scene, and here is the judge behind the bench, and the judge is the will. Now, the judge must make the right decision. Ladies and gentlemen, life's effectiveness or ineffectiveness is largely caused by making the right or wrong decisions in life. So here you are, here is your will. You've got to decide what you're going to do. And so you sit there on the bench, your will sits there on the bench, and he must make the right decision. So let's call for a few moments. Are you listening? Let's call for a few moments to the judge, the ones who are to testify. Now the will should not make the decision till he hears the case. No judge who's just will make a decision until he's heard the entire case. And so your will is the judge. These quick decisions that you make, they're not the right decisions. These, when you just all of a sudden your will says, I'll do it. A man told me not long ago. He said, I was pastor of a church. He said, I got mad one Sunday morning because something about the music. And he said, I just was mad, and I couldn't preach too well, and I had some of this on mine, and I just stopped in the middle of the sermon and said, by the way, tonight's my last service, I resign. And the will was a judge who made a decision without hearing the testimony and hearing or having a trial. And he said, I left the church. Worst decision of my life. Biggest mistake of my life. What happened? The judge made a decision before he heard the witness end. Now, follow me carefully. I call before the judge, which is your will. I called this morning several witnesses. Witness number one is the Word of God. You've got a decision to make. Now, the first thing you have to do is call to the stand the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is that part who gives the principles by which you make that decision. In other words, the principles are guidelines. The Word of God will not tell you what town you ought to, in which you ought to live. The Word of God will not tell you the name of the woman that you ought to marry. The Word of God will not tell you the occupation you ought to follow. We'll get there after a while. But the Word of God will tell you principles and guidelines. So, as we are in the courtroom, and the will is the judge presiding over the court, the will calls first to the... Something changed this all of a sudden, fellas. Something drastic changed. Did you hear that? Turn it down. Something happens. I must have hit a knob up there or something. And the will, good, the will calls first to the courtroom, to the bench, the Word of God. The Word of God gives the guidelines or the principles by which the decision should be made. Now, once the Word of God has sat down, we call the second witness to the bench. The second witness is the Spirit of God. Now, follow me carefully. The second witness is the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God uses two things. He uses first the conscience. I'm sorry. First, intuition. And second, the conscience. Now we're having a courtroom scene. You've got a decision to make. You're trying to decide where to live. You're trying to decide whom to marry. You're trying to decide what to do with your life. Or any other decision. So the Word of God, the judge, which is the will. The will's going to make the decision now and hand down the verdict. But the will must first hear the Word of God to find the principles by which to make his decision. Then the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit, by two main ways, directs us, other than by the Word of God. First, the intuition. Now, the intuition is simply this. A leading without reasoning. The best way in the world to describe an intuition, and I hate to even use this in a Sunday morning service, but it is a gut feeling. You've heard folks say, I've just got a gut feeling. This is the thing to do. Now, some of us have bigger gut feelings than others. But that's intuition. Now, so here's the courtroom, and the will has the decision to make. And the will says, I want to hear first the first witness. And the Word of God says, these, Your Honor, are the guidelines by which you ought to make your decision. And the will says, I'll hear the next witness. Holy Spirit comes up. Holy Spirit says, I present two witnesses. First, intuition. You seek my leadership. And I will give you a reasoning or an answer without reason, a gut feeling. Now, the second witness that the Holy Spirit brings is what we call the conscience. Now, the conscience is just the opposite from intuition. Are you listening? The intuition is that leading without reasoning, but the conscience is a restrainer. He is the one who warns what not to do. So the intuition says, this is what you ought to do, and you just feel after you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and He gives you that assurance or that peace, that is the intuition. Now that's the next witness. You have the Word of God that stands and says to his honor, the judge who is the will. He says, I want to give you the guidelines, Your Honor, by which you should make your decision. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, I want to lead you to make that decision properly, and I have two witnesses that would help you. One is intuition, which I will give you a feeling that this is the thing to do. Then there's the conscience, which is more or less a safeguard, checking out, and the conscience will tell you if this is something that you should not do. Then there is another witness I call to the bench, and that is the emotion, your emotion. Now you got the picture. Here's the will. The will has a decision to make. The will's got to decide what to do. And the Word of God steps up and says, Your Honor, I give you the principles by which you make your decision. And the will takes that. Holy Spirit comes up and says, Your Honor, I will lead you to make that decision, and I will lead you by intuition as to what you ought to do and by conscience as to what you ought not to do. And then the next is called, and that's the emotion. Now, the emotion tells us what we want to do. Now, this is what most of us do. It's the only witness most of us have. We have a courtroom, and the will says, hear ye, judge has to spit, and hear ye, court's in session, and we'll have a witness, and witness, you are my emotion, and emotion says, this is what you want to do, and the judge says, case dismissed, do it. Yeah, that's why you quit school and go home, you dirty coward. That's why you turn back. Why? Because you do what you want to do. But now, wait a minute. I do think that what you want to do ought to be one of the witnesses. Not the only witness, but one of the witnesses. You have a right to hear what you want to do. The emotion comes and says, this is what I think you ought to do. All right, so we have the judge on the bench, and the judge says, I've got a decision to make. I call first the Word of God. Word of God comes and says, here are the principles by which you'll make your decision, Your Honor. And the will, who is the judge, says, I call the next witness, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, Your Honor, the Word of God does not tell you exactly in detail where to go, what to do, whom to marry. I will lead you. I will lead you by my two witnesses. First, the intuition that will give you leadership, what to do, and the conscience that will be the warner to warn you of what not to do. Then the emotion steps up and the judge says, let me hear your witness. And the emotion says, this is what I want to do. And then the mind is called. And the mind steps up and says, this is the reason. Now, look, you don't always do what's the logical thing to do. God does not always want you to do what's the logical thing. It may be the intuition might sway the judge this time. But you ought to hear what the logical thing is to do. And the mind steps up. And that's why you ought to keep your mind filled with good. Because if your mind is not filled with good, I say it again, what I've said twice in the last three messages, last Sunday morning and last Wednesday night. I tell you, there's no way in this world that you ought to let your mind ever be blank. Don't you go down to some fellow and let him hypnotize you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. He makes your mind blank and little demons will rush in because the only opposition that the demons have to bring bad thoughts in your mind is if your mind is already staffed with good thoughts. Think. Be thinking. Always be thinking. And then the mind presents the logical evidence. Now, wait a minute. Follow me carefully. One more witness. We've called the Word of God, gives us the principles. We've called the Holy Spirit of God, gives us leadership. He has used the intuition that tells us what to do. He has used the conscience that tells us warnings of what not to do. We have called the emotion that tells us what we want to do. We have called the mind that tells us the evidence concerning the decision we have to make. Then one more, we call to the witness stand a counselor. Now I'm going to help you here. When the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors, that doesn't mean that if you have a decision to make, you're supposed to ask a multitude of people what you ought to do about that one decision. Now you listen to me. If you've got a decision to make, you go to Dr. Evans and say, what do you think I ought to do? Then you go to Brother Bullard and say, what do you think I ought to do? And then you go to Brother Wirtz and say, what do you think I ought to do? Brother Lively, what do you think I ought to do? Brother Colston, what do you think I ought to do? Brother Boardway, what do you think I ought to do? And Brother McKinney, what do you think I ought to do? And Brother Moffat, what do you think I ought to do? And Brother Boyd, what do you think I ought to do? And Brother Sisson, what should I do? And Brother Claire, what? You're going to get 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, 11 wrong answers until you come to me. Now, why waste your time with these second-rate guys? No, I'm saying this. God is not saying you should have a multitude of people to advise you about a decision. God is saying you should have a multitude of people, each one in a field to counsel with you about that decision. You'll get mixed up if you go to a multitude of folks about the same decision. But you get on your knees and say, God, you lead me to the one person that I think can give me the best counsel about this decision. You go to that person, hear what he has to say. Now, the will is calling the courtroom to order. And the will says, hear ye, hear ye. He calls the courtroom to order. He says, I have a decision to make. I must hear the case. Word of God steps up and says, I am the Bible. I give you the guidelines and principles by which you make the decision. Holy Spirit comes up and says, I take over where the Bible leaves off, and I will lead you about those things the Bible does not speak. And he says, I will use two of my helpers to witness to you. I will use the intuition that will lead you what you ought to do, that gut feeling of what you ought to do. And I will give you a conscience that will wave the warning flag if you're doing something you ought not to do. Then he says, I will also present the emotion, and the emotion, it tells what I myself want to do.
Then the judge calls the mind. The mind comes and presents the logical evidence that makes sense about the thing. Look at me. No note taking place. Look at me now. Everybody, look this way. I've got something I want to tell you. This is not classroom. This is preaching time. Look at me. Put your pen down. Put your pencil down. I'm preaching to you. I want you to hear me. By the way, I'll tell you what I said Wednesday night. You'll remember more if you'll listen up here instead of writing down here. The mind is, you'll lose the note. You won't lose what comes in here. And what you ought to do is you ought to sit up and hear a sermon, and you ought to listen carefully and intently, and you ought to say, I've got to get this, I've got to get this, and you'll remember more of it and retain more of it if you'll listen carefully, then you'll write it down. I said that every sermon I'm going to say, every sermon till I die, till I get your pencils, your eyes off your paper, you might be writing a love letter to your girlfriend as far as I'm concerned. Now you listen to me. Carefully. Listen to me. The will must make the decision. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. The will must make the decision. Now, if the will makes the decision with these seven witnesses, Bible, Holy Spirit, intuition, conscience, emotion, mind, and counselor. Hear me. That means the will had better stay in the Word. That means if the Word of God is going to lead you, that means if you have a decision to make, you better live in this book. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet. Thy word is the light unto my path. Secondly, if it be true that the Holy Spirit is to lead you to make the right decision as a witness in the courtroom over which the will presides, that means you'd better be yielding yourself constantly to the Holy Spirit. 7 times a day, I do that. I wake up in the morning, first thing I do, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray that you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. Mid-morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. At noontime, I pray, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. Mid-afternoon, I pray, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. 6 o'clock at night, I pray, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today. I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. 9 o'clock at night, or as near after as I can, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. Before I go to bed at night, Holy Spirit, I yield myself 7 times a day. Listen! You've got to make a decision. It's going to affect your life. It's going to affect the life of many people. You've got a decision to make. You've got to be sure that the witnesses are witnessing properly. And so you live in the book, and then you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and you do it sincerely. That isn't all. He must check his intuition. But the intuition is not, listen, the intuition is not trustworthy unless the Holy Spirit controls the intuition. And then you check your conscience. The Bible says the conscience can be seared over with a hot iron. So the only way, see, the conscience and the intuition are the messengers and helpers of the Holy Spirit. And so you say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And Holy Spirit, make the decisions that I have to make, they're not all in the Bible. And since they're not all in the Bible, Holy Spirit, I yield myself, control my mind, control my thinking, and I yield myself to you. And then that gut feeling must be controlled by Him. And then that conscience must be controlled by Him. You say to Him, wave the flag of warning. That's the conscience. And if that be true, then, if these be true, the will must then delight himself in the Lord. Now hear me carefully. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That means that your emotion can be trustworthy if you're delighting yourself in the Lord. That doesn't mean if you just love God. That means if you delight in the Lord. If you ha-ha in the Lord, and whoopee in the Lord, and hallelujah in the Lord, and amen in the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord. Now, when you get to where you delight yourself in the Lord, there'll be some Pharisees sitting right behind you that'll criticize you while you do it. I don't believe in all that stuff. No, I know that, and that's why the Lord won't give you what you want, because you don't delight yourself in the Lord. I'm not saying everybody says, whoopee, is delighting himself in the Lord. He may have been delighting himself in trying to get attention, but you don't know which one it is, so shut up. Who gave you the wisdom, discernment to decide whether a fellow is sincere in his shouting or not? I'm simply saying, listen, it's time that the people of God fell in love with this book. It's time you loved it. I don't mean, I've got to read it, got to read it, supposed to do it, promised to do it, got to do it. I'm talking about delighting yourself in it. I can't wait to get to it. It's my joy, my thrill, my excitement, my fun, my pleasure, my recreation is in the book. And the Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, then He can trust you to get what you want. He'll give you power of attorney. And then you, being delighted in the Lord, God will give you the desires of your heart, because God can trust your desires to be His desires. That means also He must be sure His mind is right. If we're going to have these witnesses, the Word of God, Spirit of God, intuition, conscience, emotion, mind, and then a person better be sure his mind is spiritual. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Did these thoughts that come to testify come from an idle mind, or from did they come from other good truths? Now, let me warn you, quickly, let me warn you. The will must never decide on its own. The will is a responder. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose here's a man that's not saved. Right beside him, another man not saved. One man that's not saved says, I'm gonna search for salvation. He won't find it. He won't find it. Because the will becomes the aggressor. The will should never be the aggressor. The will is responder. But the second fellow, somebody knocks on his door and says, I want to tell you a wonderful story. And the fellow says, what is it? He says, did you know you're a sinner? And sinners are lost, and sinners are going to hell. And Jesus became sin and lived a perfect life and went to Calvary. And the old story of Christ. And says, all you have to do is, fellas, listen to me. He says, will you receive Christ? Salvation is not a searching by the will. It is a receiving by the will. And so when the will hears the message of Christ, and okay, illustration. Preacher called me on the phone and said, Dr. Hiles, I'm looking for a church. I'll tell you what, his chances of finding God's will are almost nil. I'm looking for a church. He was pastoring a church then. Had some problems. Good night, don't we all? He had some problems. So he decided he wanted to go find some new problems. Both would be the same ones he had where he was. Devil knows no new tactics. And so I said, well, won't you stay where you are? I just feel like I ought to leave. Where do you want to go? Anywhere. That means anywhere. He can go to Lower Slavovia. He can go to Moscow. He can go to Paris. He can go to Berlin. He can go to Waxahachie, Texas. He can go to Richmond, Virginia. He can go to Seattle, Washington. He can go to Phoenix, Arizona. He can go to Brownville, Texas. He can go to Amsterdam, New York. I'm sorry, Amsterdam, New York. He can go. I mean, what chance has a guy got to find the will of God when his will says, I'm going? It's like the Texan that got on his horse and rode off in all directions. There's no way in the world that you can find which way to go. So the will comes when a decision comes. The decision comes and says, I must be made. And Your Honor, you must make the decision. And the will says, all right, but I must hear some witnesses. I must first have the Word of God come in, and I must have the Word of God explain the principles concerning this decision. I must have the Holy Spirit come in to lead me beyond what the Word of God says. Within those principles, I must have Him lead me. And I must have the intuition come in to give me the gut feeling what I ought to do as I yield to the Holy Spirit. And I must have the conscience come in and see if He warns me not to do it. And I must have my emotion come in to tell me what I want to do. And that I must have my mind come in to tell me what evidence he has concerning the decision that I must make, that I must have a counselor come to advise me what he thinks. And then with those witnesses, the judge says, this is my decision. This is my decision. He gives the verdict. The decision can be made. Why? Because he is called to the courtroom and to the witness stand. Every area and every facet of his life. Now that means, ladies and gentlemen, you better live in that book. And that means you better live on your knees. And that means you better keep your mind filled with truth. Because your mind is going to present the evidence to your will. And that means you better be careful with whom you counsel. I know what you do. You find somebody you know will tell you what you want to do anyway and go counsel with them. Or you find somebody who's never been where you are and go counsel with them. Or you find somebody yesterday did what you're doing and they did what you want to do and still go counsel with them. Life is made of decisions. Success or failure comes by proper or improper decisions. Choose you this day. This morning, if you're not saved, you can search and you can search and you can search with your will to find salvation, but that's not the way you find it. Somebody tells you the great story of Christ, and then you say, I will. It's not of the will of man. I mean, the priest across the street can put ashes on you every Wednesday all year long. You'll die and go to hell because that's not the way you get saved. You can go to a telephone booth and confess to me and him both all year long and die and go to hell. That's not the way you get saved. You get saved when the will responds to an invitation. That's why I never say such terms as this. Would you give your heart to Jesus? Salvation is not in giving. Salvation is in receiving. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Don't misunderstand me. I think there are folks who sometimes say they're giving their heart to Jesus, and what they're doing is receiving God's gift of salvation. But it is not the giving, it's the receiving. And this morning, if you would look and see the evidence, the Word of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God who tells you to be saved, and your intuition, a gut feeling there says, I ought to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And your conscience waves the flag and says, don't turn back. Listen to your intuition. And you call your motion, and your motion says, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want Jesus as my Savior. And you call your mind in, and the mind says, it just makes good sense. It just makes good sense. You can go to hell if you want to. Go to heaven if you want to. It just makes good sense to receive the Savior. You call a counselor in. Let me be that counselor. It sure is a wonderful thing to be saved. And then I say, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. You can be saved now if you will. Our Heavenly Father.